I don't get to tell you too much about the present day truth, just every once in a while. And the reason is because I can't talk to you. I usually always have to preach to you or do something just to keep your attention. Some people, you know, they're not very perceptive. And it doesn't matter what you say to them, talking to them, it doesn't get across to them. As a matter of fact, you can meet them in the day, just out through the day, and you can talk with them. And while you're talking, they don't know what you said. They're not interested in what you said. They could care less about what you said. All they're doing, they're just trying to keep quiet till you get through with what you've got to say so that they can tell you what they think. And they don't get anything that you say as a rule or just a fragment of it, maybe just enough to keep conversation with you, to keep you from knowing, you know, that they wasn't listening. That's a poor means of life, but that's the way folks are. So when you come to church and you try to talk to people, they don't get it. You try to reason with them, they don't get it. Their minds drift. Their mind drifts on their job. Their mind drifts on their family. Their mind drifts on each other. Their mind drifts on money. It drifts on all kind of things. It just drifts. And the preacher, he's got to just be going along and say, "Hey, you," as loud as he can, you know. "Get right with God. Better repent." And everybody jumps up, you know, and they think, "My God, he's preaching." You know, and of course, when Jesus came along, he didn't do that. He just talked to them. But see, the Bible said because of their foolishness and lack of understanding and lack of concern, that God chose to save them by the foolishness of hollering at them, by the foolishness of preaching. And so he sent forth a bunch of folks to holler at them. He said, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet." But once in a while I catch a kind of a spiritual atmosphere, or maybe I catch a few hungry hearts. Sometimes my people here, they'll go along for X amount of days, and because I don't say too much about revelation, they kind of get hungry. And when you find them hungry, you'll find enough of them that you can talk just a little bit about a few things. And it's kind of like talking to David Paul over in the evening. And I also was talking to my wife some today. It always breaks my heart. I think, "Lord, this great, mighty thing has been revealed from heaven, and my children aren't getting it. And very few of my spiritual children are getting it. But I think my children, they're not getting it. My wife, she's not getting it." And I think, this is so heartbreaking. You know, I want them to know too, and I want them to understand too. And when I start to talk to Sister Betty, people are so carnal-minded. You know, until I can start to talk to Sister Betty at home, and the telephone will ring, and the telephone will ring, and the telephone will ring. And they'll say, this is sister, want to speak to you. And Betty, she'll get all tore up, and she'll hang the phone up. Then we'll talk till the anointing gets started again, and then the anointing starts speaking, and Betty gets in deep, deep thought concerning the thing. And then they say, this is the sister. And I think a lot of times, you know, I say, "Betty, that ain't nothing but the devil." I said, "Using the carnal mind to get you away from the revelation, just like in church or whatever." And usually it's a lot of the sisters, it's just routinist. They call. Every little thing happens, they call. They call continually. Call continually, you know. Don't matter what little thing happens, they call. The other night, Sister Betty told me, she said, "I gotta lay down. I gotta get some rest. I just got to." And it was about 12 o'clock then, and she has to get up pretty early. And lo and behold, here come some people. And it must have been at least an hour or 2 hours before they got through with a little foolish nothing. I mean, it was just nothing. I couldn't hardly believe it when I found out what it was. You know, it reminds me of a case that I heard of not too long ago in Monroe. Two brothers, I believe it was, or fellows got together, and they had a problem. And one of them finally just cut the other one's throat, I believe, or he killed him, whatever it was. And when they found out what it was about, they had a dispute over a piece of chicken. So, you know, it's just unreal. Carnal-minded people, they're always gossiping, backbiting, calling. You know, I never did have very much problem out of my family until we put in a telephone. I told Betty for many years, I said, I will not have a telephone. It won't do nothing but wreck a home. And finally, when her mother was up in her 80s, and Betty was away from her most of the time, I finally give in. I said, I'll put in a telephone to where she can call her mother and talk to her mother. And since that time, it has literally wrecked our home. I mean, it's wrecked our home from one end to another. And, of course, I knew what a telephone would do, but I thought maybe we might try to hold it down. Now it rings all the day. Don't ever stop, just every few minutes. And over in the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can be on my knees praying, still calling. And when they call, it ain't worth 15 cents. It's just the devil got them in a routine of calling so that they can keep me from praying at night and keep her from doing her work in the daytime. And it's just a constant thing all the time. And some of them come down to the house. It's the same way. They just come in just to talk, just to do nothing. Their mind's on nothing but just to interrupt and to keep her from doing her work. Well, she probably don't like this because I'm saying it, but it's like I said, we have a little differences sometimes. The bills don't get paid on time like they ought to, and things aren't taken care of like they ought to be, and it really disturbs me because, see, this is the work of God. And like Tony, when Tony was doing the house down here, he come to me and he was all tore up. He said, Brother Pike, I'm not used to this kind of thing. He said, the way we've been taught, we're taught to do our job and people aren't to interfere. And he said, ever since I've been trying to do this job, he said, there's been one right after another. He said, until I just had to ask them to leave. He said, would you please leave and let me do my work? Because I'm trying to get these wires together, and if I don't get them together, I'll burn the house down, kill somebody, whatever. I don't know exactly the terms he used. He said, but it's just kept me tore up all the time. And he said, I don't want to do anything wrong. And he talked like they wouldn't help him. He talked like they wouldn't come and help him. So they'd just come and stand around and talk. Or they'd be in for a little bit and out and then back in for a little bit. Said he had some of the kids that was the same way. And said some of the kids just come in gossiping, Brother Pike. And said they just say things that Mama said and Daddy said. So I said, where in the world did you get that? Where did you hear that? So my Mama said that. My Daddy said that. And Tony, he was just tore to pieces. I had to take him in the house and talk to him for a long, long time just to get his mind back together. He said he just couldn't get a hold of it. Well, anyway, when I talked to him, I explained to him how that a person can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Because all the time that Tony was doing that, I also heard things myself. And things that we see that others do sometimes, we can be doing the same thing and worse and not see what we're doing. And when I reminded him of some shortcomings on their end and in his life, he quickly changed around and repented and said, I'm sorry, Brother Pike. Said, I can see how man can be blind or whatever, you know, or he didn't use those terms, but I can see how that he can get all upset and tore up over something when it's not like that. But still, there was a whole lot of it that was like that. And that's the way it is. Sometimes a sister will call that has a need. Sometimes a brother will call that has a need. And sometimes a person will need strength and need help. And they'll call. And then the others, I say this tonight, it won't faze it. It won't faze it. I can say this tonight, I can say it tomorrow night. I say these things to the brothers, to the sisters about their offices, the neglect, the unconcern. It don't faze them. Right back at it, full force, day after day and year after year. And it's really bad. It's really bad. It's a bad situation. So then I know that it won't do any good. And it makes it a bad thing because I have to say to a person, you know, I love you and I appreciate you, but I can't ever use you anymore in this capacity because I have given you 3 years. I've given you 5 years. And it is a positive proof that you're never going to do what I ask you or pay attention to what you're doing. It's like a case a few days ago. I had somebody and we were doing some things and it was of the greatest of importance. And I was sorting some papers and I had the person right directly in front of me. And I handed them some envelopes, several envelopes. I said, now I'm going to sort these papers. They're very, very important. Don't get them mixed up. And the individual was taking the papers. I said, now don't put them in the wrong envelope. I said, now here's the name and here's the envelope. And the individual was like this. They were saying, I won't. And all the time they were saying, I won't do it. They were sticking it in the wrong envelope. And I said, listen to me. Get your mind on what I'm telling you. I said, you're putting that in the wrong envelope. And this is so important. And then they just snapped to attention like that, like a little child. And I thought, Lord, this seems unreal. I'm sitting here telling the individual, looking at the individual, and they're holding the envelopes and they're telling me they wouldn't do it for nothing. And they're putting it in there all the time. When all they had to do was look at the envelope and it told them just exactly on the outside which was which. And it already got them from me with the envelopes before we started. See, this is what I'm talking about, folks. You can't do that. You know, you're going down the road and you're driving. You've got your mind on soda pop and you've got your mind on ball games and you've got your mind on fussing and where you've been instead of where you're going. And the first news you know, you killed somebody. You done had a wreck. Something bad done happened. You know, and you wasn't half paying any attention to what you're doing. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't do that for nothing, Brother Pike. I'll tell you what. Some of you have run into each other. You know, natural wrecks is typical of spiritual wrecks. And some of you are driving without license, spiritually speaking. You had your license pulled a long time ago. God stopped trusting you a long time ago and took your rights away to do what you're doing. And you go down the road, spiritually speaking, with your gossiping tongue and your backbiting and your fault finding. And the next thing I know, we got a telephone call and somebody's just a ball and you done wrecked, you done run smack into them and you got them tore all to pieces. And sometimes you can patch them up and sometimes you can put on a new fender, as we say, and sometimes you just have to take them to the junkyard. That's the end of them. You killed them. You wrecked the car. It can't be repaired. See, this is what you do. And for all of these things, we're pulled into the judgments of God. We have to face the judgments of God for every family that you wreck, every life that you wreck, every child that you wreck, everything that you do like that, you're pulled into the courts of God. And you got a price to pay for it. The Bible said, seeing that the angels who are greater in power and might receive a just recompense, a reward for every transgression, how shall then we as people, human beings, escape if we neglect so great salvation? And when we half-heartedly pay the bills, half-heartedly care about lost souls and widows and the hungry, half-heartedly care about living right or refraining our tongue from saying the wrong things or trying to keep the right thoughts, when we're half-hearted as to trying to have the right thoughts, then we have it all to pay for. Never come into perfection. Never bring any fruit into perfection. Never have a full reward. Just kind of skimp by. That's where all of our problems come from. Our financial problems come from that. Our physical problems come from that. Our surrounding problems as to neighborhood or whatever, it comes from that. All of our natural mishaps. So you try to tell folks this. You try to talk to people. You try to make them to understand. But see, they've got a mind of their own. They're going to think their own thoughts. They're going to do their own thing. They're going to go their own way. And they're going to take their chance. Like a man, he gets in jail. We've had numbers of boys come in and out of Bethlehem. You warn them that they're going to get in jail. And sure enough, they get in jail. And then when they get out of jail, you warn them again, they're going to get in jail. So sure enough, they get back in jail. And then when they get out of jail again, you warn them and you say, look, don't you have any sense? Don't you have any reason? Don't you want your freedom? Don't you know that if you continue to do this, you're going to get in more trouble? Ain't long they're in more trouble. We've got boys that's been in and out Bethlehem that's probably been in jail 5 times or more and is still in jail right now. The same individuals. You wreck your lives, you wreck your home. You do those things, you lose your opportunities through life. Could have a great business for God's sake, and instead you have to work your life out, somebody hollering and screaming at you because you just won't live right. Folks, this is bad. It's bad. But as long as you've got your own mind and an old hard spirit, not tender, not loving, not kind, not submissive. The Bible said, submit yourself one to another, and especially submit yourself unto the minister, the one that looks for your soul. God is a spirit. And you've got to submit your spirit unto leadership and unto the word of God and unto the ministry, unto the shepherd that watches for your soul, and quit finding fault with him. And quit always chewing him up in your thoughts and being resentful and haughty and trying to pick him apart and figure out whether he's real or not. You know, if you don't believe he's real, don't listen to him. Go somewhere where you can find somebody you can confide in. Don't be foolish. If you ain't got enough confidence to listen at him and trust him and to keep those things out of your mind, you don't need to be sitting under his ministry. Because see, you are a foolish person. You're caught within your own reasoning and he can't tell you nothing and you're not growing at all. All you're doing is just getting deeper in the mire, because the more you hear, the more it's required of you. And the less you're doing as to that you've heard, and you're in more trouble. The Bible said, to whom I've given much, I will require the more. Servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. So there you are. It's just a real problem in a situation. Be wise in the things you're doing, folks. We're trying to get a telephone system set up. Maybe Brother Steve is going to work with us some. He was real interested in it today. I've asked one or two to help me, and they promised me, they've solemnly promised me that they would, and they won't. I was just walking through the places today. I was walking up here through Brother Lynn, Sister Lundebo's office up here. And walking through there, there's been a work order, I suppose, on the trim for, I don't know, numbers of years. Nobody's done it. Down where the ladies is working, the same way. Nobody's done it. Then all of the stuff down here, what they call the Father's house, nobody's took the time to do it. The iron work, the many multiplied things, it wouldn't take but just a little bit of your time, a little bit of your consideration, won't do it. And then we get more slight. Not only do we leave those things alone and cause deterioration and injury to the labor of those who came before us, that is to say, when you don't paint the door and you don't do the little things that you could do, then buildings worth hundreds of thousands of dollars are jeopardized. Your interest, your asset. See, with this, as I said today, we took a few people that had a mind to work. Got out here with them to dig and to nail. We built something for God. Now I'm getting a group of people that don't want to do nothing, that ain't got a mind to work, that just wants to homestead, and as the Bible said, live off of the labors of others. A parasite sort of a people. They're fornicators, they're adulterers, they're liars, they're cheats, they're swindlers. They'll do anything in the world cunningly to make a dollar to keep from working. A generation, Jesus said, of vipers. A generation of adulterers that he would burn with fire. A whole generation. And they can't keep their minds straight. Their minds are just filled with dirty thoughts and filthy connivings, and all day long your mind's just dirty, like a dirty rag all day long. See, a filthy generation. And yet the Bible said they're just as religious as Cain, having a name that they live when they're just filled with the love of the world and just as dirty as they can be. But folks, remember, God is a spirit. If you're not clean on the inside, if your thoughts are not clean, you're going to hell. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as Brother Branham said one time, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. So then, see, you got to do right. And the reason for these dirty thoughts, and the reason for these backbiting thoughts and gossiping thoughts, and thoughts of fear and frustration and anxiety, all these situations, is because you don't have a vision. You just don't have a vision. You don't do anything but eat and drink and ride and eat and drink and gossip and ride and try to figure out how to make a dollar or get another man's dollar. See, you don't have a vision. A man with his mind occupied as to do something as Noah when he built the ark, those things don't fill his mind. His mind's busy doing something. But like it has been said in the past, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so then, this is the reason you perish. This is the reason that you don't really get anything done for God. You're sitting around thinking about wife, children, husband, mama, daddy. You're looking back into Egypt all the time. You're melancholy. You feel like you're sick. You feel like you got cancer. You feel like you're too tired to do this. And you just feel like you can't pay your bills. And you feel like the husband ought to work harder or you ought to get a job. And your mind's just clouded up in a conglomeration of a mess all the time. It never lets up. See, and when you're like this, then you just have to get born again. You've got to be born again. See, a person like that has never been born again. They're just filthy and dirty all the time. You've got to get under the shower of God. You've got to get cleaned up. You've got to get born again because you're going to hell if you don't do it. And that's what the preacher has to tell you. And if a man is a man of God, if he has anything from God, his delight is to meditate in the laws of God day and night. And his delight is to be able to bring forth the deep, hidden mysteries of God. And to be able to pray the prayer of faith that you can be healed in your body. And pray for you and give you the knowledge to receive the edification that you need for your soul and the financial needs that you need to take care of you and yours from day to day. But if you love the world, if you have the love of the world in you, the love of God's not there, and you just go on in those things day after day, and you don't make any effort to change from them. See, this is the bad thing. Don't make any effort to change from them. Tomorrow, you won't make any effort to do any better than you've done today. You just won't do it. And the next day, you won't make any effort to do any better than you did the day before. You just won't make any effort. You won't sit down and try to think it out, try to reason it out. It's like somebody was telling me today, and I know this don't sound good, but I don't know nothing to do but just pass it on to you and tell you. There's a person that's sitting here tonight that a brother was speaking to me about today. And he said this individual came over to visit with his wife and said the wife told him, said the whole time that this individual was there, said to just walk around the windows looking over at Bethlehem. And said he'd be saying things, and he kept trying to find something that they could say against Bethlehem, about Bethlehem, or find fault. Whereas, I know for sure that the same individual a few days ago almost got killed. Come that close. Almost got killed. See, and I know for sure, I'd already spoke to my wife about it, the kind of spirit that had the individual. And you know what? You can't do those things and get by with it. You can't do it. You'll lose loved ones. You'll lose out with God. You've got to make an honest, sincere effort. Now, folks, listen at me. Before the knowledge of God come, many people got by with a lot of things. You could do something and it might be 10 years before you had to pay for it. The reason was because you didn't know any better. There was not any knowledge and it took you a long time to understand. See, but then came the time when the knowledge of the Lord began to come. And then when the knowledge of the Lord began to come, God required it. Now the knowledge of God is more clearer than ever before. And it's getting clearer, more clearer every day. And the Bible said the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens and the sea and the earth. Which means that we will come to an understanding to where when we look at a star, we'll know what that is in the knowledge of God. We look at something out here, it will revelate to us and we'll understand allegorically what it was put there for. See, and as this knowledge comes, then it's required of you. The more that you know, it's required of you. The Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So you didn't know, you could get by with it. Now, you do something wrong and knowledge is so strong that within a few days the judgment of God will strike you. So you really need to think about this, folks. Tonight I wanted to talk to you like this, but I didn't want to talk to you about these things. I had it on my mind that I wanted to talk to you about some heavenly things and some spiritual things. So let my conversation be in heaven and talk about these wonderful heavenly things. Like in the vision, the thing I saw in heaven. And I wanted to talk about those things. But like Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals or those heavenly things. He said, but I can't. He said, your babes in Christ, they're still envying. There's still strife. There's still malice.
You're still fussing and feuding and fighting. You're still devouring one another. See, and he said it just makes it impossible to bring to you the revelation of the Son of God and the understanding. And folks, we're way down the trail. The translation of the church is near. The things that I wanted to talk to you about tonight, just a few little things to mention as to present day happenings, things that you are acquainted with as to having seen or heard in the natural, and yet not seeing anything as to know what their spiritual values are. See, and I just wanted, as your pastor, your minister, I wanted to share those little things with you as God has shared them with me. But it's almost an impossibility. There's just no hunger. See, you're not fasting, you're not praying, you're not studying your Bible. You're not trying to be spiritual, you're not trying to give of your finance to help. You just kind of do whatever you take a good notion to do. You don't want to help around the home front, you don't want to help in the offices. You don't want to nail, you don't want to saw, you don't want to dig, you don't want to do anything. And because of that, you've left God out and God's left you to yourself. It stands to reason, you know, that if God's in my heart and I cut out a little of it today and a little of it tomorrow and a little more the next day, after a while I'm going to be cut off from God altogether. I won't even have enough understanding and light from God to even know where I'm going. And the Bible said, because I had not a love for the truth of these things when God spoke it to me through the ministry, then he said that God would turn me over to reprobate mind. And he would let me believe a lie and be damned. That he would send me strong delusions and cause me to believe a lie and be damned because I didn't love the truth. So I said those things to try to clarify my thoughts as to what is meant by growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and having a vision so that you don't perish. Having a vision, doing something, having a vision for God, every individual, boy, girl, man and woman, having a vision. That's why we have a Christian school, to try to keep our little ones' minds occupied so they won't be dirty and filthy. And we try to keep plucking the briars out and trying to get to a little kid. When a little kid's got a mom and daddy that's just always filthy with their mouth or in their minds, or if it is that these little kids have a mother and daddy that don't care where they go and who they fellowship, in that the Bible said evil communications will corrupt good manners. If we've got mothers and daddies like that, we have to deal with the little children because they come up with little old mouths as dirty and filthy as they can be. Like a little boy come and told me the other day, he said, "I've been talking filthy." And I looked at him because he's a fine little boy. He's a boy, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. I don't know just how old he is. But he just boldly come up and told me. He didn't try to hide it. Some of them are just as deceitful as they can be. He just boldly come and told me. And he also told me that the other little boys had been talking filthy. Whereas one of the brothers asked his boy and his boy confessed it. See, and I say something because I don't want them to get killed. I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want things to happen to them. And yet if you let them defile the campground, you let them defile the homes, you let them defile themselves, then they'll be killed. Something will happen to them. Because when a little fellow gets dirty mouth and that's all he can do is just talk dirty mouth, the first thing you know, the Lord has to back off. He can't watch over him. And see, the parents aren't watching over him. They're not correcting him. They're not keeping him from it. So all of a sudden, Satan kills the little fellow. Like somebody had a vision. I don't know who it was, but they told me the other night. I kept feeling something wrong at the church. And that's one of the things among the children. I kept feeling something wrong. And finally, the other night after church, I was still feeling something wrong. So I went home, and in a little while, I was in my robe, and somebody did the door there, and I went to the door, and the little boy come to my door. And I saw Johnny there. Johnny was just going to kind of turn the little one away and close the door after I got through talking with him. And I said, "Wait a minute, Johnny." I could feel something was wrong. And Johnny told the little one to come over. Johnny tries to protect us as much as he can. He tries to be as honest and straight with me to help me as much as he can. And yet the securities a lot of times strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They'll turn people away that I need to talk to and let people come in and sit for hours that just about drive me out of my mind. and you can't find the security nowhere at all. And it makes it bad on Saturday when I really need a security. I don't have a security nowhere. And through the week, they could forget about it, you know, cause more problems on Saturday than all the week put together. But anyway, the little boy come up, and I believe it was last night. I was looking for a security last night. A call come in about one of our sisters that she might be in problems, that she needed help. And I tried my best to find a security. Wasn't one around nowhere. But anyway, the little boy came up and he was crying. Or he started to cry. He said he wanted to give his heart to God. About 15 years old. And I prayed for him. And I felt so much better because he was so sincere. And yet I know a child, he'll give his heart to God today and tomorrow. As far as he's concerned, he done took it back. But it don't work like that. A lot of times when you give your heart to God and that gets down in here, God charges you according to your development, your age, as to what you know. And he stays with you as long as he can. Sometimes he's with you all your life. You finally get straightened out. But while I was praying, my wife said to me, said, you know, said something come to my mind. Said there was a dream that two of these kids got killed. And she said, this is one of the children right here. And said, he and his brother said somebody had a dream that they were on the bicycles running around somewhere, couldn't tell just where, and they got killed. Well, this really bothered me. This really disturbed me. Because I've had the feeling that something was going on, you know, and trying to get things together. Sometimes I get it accurate and get it together. Sometimes I don't. Paul said, the Spirit speaketh expressly, and sometimes you can tell to a T. And sometimes you can't. Depends on your condition with God. Depends on the condition of the audience. But anyway, I just thought, how horrible. How horrible. If those two kids got killed, see how horrible it would be. And yet, if mothers don't know where they're at and don't know what they're doing, and dads don't care enough to try to find them or to lead them or say something to them, then it's going to be like that. And another type thing is if you are always chiding with your daughter, with your son, if all you ever do is fuss and beat and bang on them, you're going to get in trouble with God. And you're going to get in trouble with your own soul. Because the Bible said, don't do that lest you discourage the child. You'll discourage him. And the Bible said for you not to do that. So don't keep on at that child till you discourage him. Don't chide with him till he gets all cast down and broke up and can't figure out what he's doing and then lost his composure. I don't mean by that as to a rebellious child. Some kids are so rebellious that they have to have corrections. You have to scold them. They have to have a whipping sometime. But if you're just some kind of old devil that's just going to hammer and beat and hack on them all the time and you just ain't never going to stop, the Bible said you're going to discourage the heart of that child. And it said, fathers, don't discourage the children. Don't chide with them lest they be discouraged. And you break them down and they won't have any resistance and they'll get to where they don't care. Well, anyway, there's a whole lot to be said, folks. And these things that I'm saying to you is just good old down-to-earth, countrified talk like my daddy used to talk to me. The way he talked to me, a lot of these things, my mom. See, and to learn just to have good understanding. The Bible said all them that are born of God's got a good understanding. But if you don't have some kind of understanding as to rule your own house, if you don't have any control over your children, and you don't know how to rule them, the Bible said you've got no business trying to rule the house of God. If I can't rule my own family, I don't have no business trying to rule the house of God. As long as my family was at home and of any age at all, as the children, I had a beautiful control over them. And even today, I still got a great control over them today. They fear. They call me. They come. They respect. They ask. And even though they're getting in trouble and they're getting into problems, just like Job's children did, they're getting into problems because when people get old enough, they want to do their own thing. Like somebody I was talking to, it ain't been just recently, I was talking to them.
And they was talking to me about their home, their dad and mother. And they felt like that the dad and mother wasn't taking the right outlook about the thing. And I know for sure the dad and mother ain't. They're letting devils and demons just wreck their home. But nevertheless, the person said something to me about it. And the person seemed to have the attitude that they were old enough to do what they wanted to. And they felt like they were still being treated like a child, like a kid. And of course, I looked at the individual and I told him, I said, you are a kid. I said, you're just a kid. You've got a long, long ways to go before you're more than a kid. You know, just because you hit your teens, I don't mean you're all grown up and mom and dad ought to take a bow to you and just let you pitch a fit and have your way and do what you want to and go where you want to. Come back when you get ready and plan your own life. If that dad and mother's got any kind of sense at all, they'll keep some kind of control over you. Because you're still a kid and you're right then at your worst stage. In your teens, in your early teens, you're at the worst stage that you could be at. Because it's right then and there that the devil is just making havoc out of our boys and girls. I mean, he's literally tearing them to pieces. Because when they hit the teens, they get the idea that they know they've been to school a little bit, got a little bit of learning. They'd been better off if they'd just been an ignorant old, just a little child with an ignorant old farmer, backyard or somewhere they didn't know nothing. Because if they didn't know nothing, they were scared to get away from home and they wasn't riding around in cars and bumping into each other and taking dope and out there defiling each other and killing and being thrown in jail. Had just been a whole lot better off, like when I was a boy, back out there plowing. When I got home, I was ready to go to bed. They didn't have to beat on me all the time. And they didn't have to holler at me all the time. You know, the Bible said a word to the wise, it's sufficient. That means if your boy's got any sense or your daughter's got any sense, that you can give them a word of understanding. You don't have to scream and holler and beat them and go at them like some hyena. You know, if they've got any sense at all, they'll listen to you. And it's the same way with the preacher. If you've got any kind of understanding and I give you a word from God, that's a word of wisdom. You should make your life adjust to it and you should immediately start trying to line up with it because the word should be sufficient for the wise and you should be wise. Well, the time I get through here, it's for sure that I won't be able to say nothing about the other. But the other, maybe it'll come along later. Maybe if we get these things in order, maybe later on we can talk about the other. I just trust that it won't be too late in seeing these things. I have a lot of problems, folks. I've got some people that's wanting to leave another camp and come over here. And it's hard to deal with. A lot of times I stay away from a camp because of that. Because I know if they ever get a taste of some of these things, that they're not going to stay there. And you know, you can be responsible for going into a home or going around the home and enticing children or teenagers and causing them to leave home and wreck their lives. And there are spiritual children like that. So they're never wanting to honor the parents, the spiritual parents. They don't want to do right. They're just up and down and in and out and everywhere, and yet they belong to that particular camp. But it's like when we went to the Carolinas, 10 families at one time, I believe it was thereabout, left and come down here. And then over in Tennessee, we run into a group and about 10 families come over here. And we've had many families to come in, people from everywhere, even the islands. And we got hard and we got strict, as they would call it. And come down the line, numbers of them backed off. Because a lot of them was just parasites, troublemakers. And then some of them just had to get back a little bit till they could kind of get their bearings. The light was a little too bright for them. And the Lord is doing a particular thing at Bethlehem. And He's really putting some people through some rugged training so that they can be real soldiers for what He wants them to do. Real leadership. Out of all of you going through this training, you're going through it, but out of all of you, I ain't going to get but, as we say, a handful. I ain't going to get but a few of you. Out of all of these that He's putting through training to make your leaders, I'm just going to get a very few of you. Very few. Jesus said, few there be that find it, even as to those of salvation. And when it comes to leadership, it's sure enough few. That's why he called them a little flock. So then, I've worked with you and tried to help you. And now, more people are still coming in. And more people are writing. And more people want to be connected with it around the world. And as of late, I was just kind of thinking today, there's been at least 15 or 20 in the last few days. And most of them are staying and moving in. See, and they want to come in. They're hungry. They have a need. They have a desire. But folks, what are you doing? I hope you don't run off. I hope you don't get offended. I hope you use a little wisdom and try to digest what I'm saying. Because, as a natural person, I could care less. But as a Christian, as a spiritual individual, I want to help you. I'm concerned about offending you. I'm concerned about helping you. If it was just as a natural man, the kind of person I used to be, I wouldn't have cared if you stood on your head. I wouldn't have cared. I'd have walked off and left you standing there. I'd think, well, if you're so ignorant to do that, good enough for you. I mean, I would have done that, folks. Like I told somebody today, I said, I want you to make a telephone call. I said, tell this minister, explain to this minister, help this minister. I said, because there's some people going to leave him and come up here to me. And I said, I don't want to offend him. And like I told him, I said, if he wasn't for God, I could care less. They could stand on their head. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't even look back at them. Because people don't need to do the ignorant things that they do. And they know better with all the knowledge that we've got today. But as a Christian, as one that loves you, as one that has gotten rid of that side of me that didn't care, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to get offended. I want to do everything I can to help you. But now there are things such as spiritual babe that sometimes I'm going to give you a good spanking. You might as well get ready for it. See, it's just like Paul. Paul said, shall I come to you with a rod or shall I come to you with, as in peace, without chastisement? The Bible said, them that God loves, He chastens. Somebody said, well, bless God, you won't do me that way. I never whip any children that don't belong to me. When I was raising my children, if a neighbor's children come, I never whipped any children that didn't belong to me. If you are a bastard child, you don't belong to me. I won't be whipping you. I won't be bothering you. I'll just preach the gospel. Whatever you hear, you'll hear. But them that are mine will be chastened. Every son that cometh to God, He scourgeth him first. So I've been scourged many times. I've been beaten many times as to obedience. The Bible said to beat a child, you'll save his soul from hell. You leave the child himself, he'll bring you shame. You got some sons and daughters that's really going to bring you shame because you're leaving them to yourself or to themselves. You ain't paying attention to them. I was telling a dad today, I said, I picked up the spirit of your little son. And I said, he's been going across the campground. I picked up two or three times. And I said, he's a fine little boy. And he really is. And I've had him under subjection and had him just the finest kind of little fellow. But because his daddy won't pay no attention to him, his mother won't pay no attention to him, just letting him go. I told him today, I saw him go across the campground and he was just the whistling and going on. And I picked the little kid's spirit up and it was just like this. I'm happy and free. Nobody ain't got nothing to do with me. I'll do what I want to when I get ready. I mean, now that's the kind of spirit he had. And I thought, dear God, this is awful. That little fella, he has got clear alphamunda control, and nobody has any strings on him. Now, folks, you remember this. A truck going down the hill without any brakes is going to crash up. That little fella doesn't have any brakes. The only brakes he's got is mom and dad's words here that says, no, son, don't do that. Or, son, if you do that, I'll tan your hide. And see, that little fella is out of control. And you're not going to get him back under control. I told the parent, I talked to him. I said, well, what do you think I ought to do? You think I can give him a whipping and get him back under control? I said, absolutely not. You beat him and beat him. You still won't get him under control. I said, you're going to have to get somewhere with him. You're going to have, this is what you've got to do. You've got to get somewhere with him. You've got to talk with him. You've got to get his attention. You've got to let him know that you love him and you're concerned about him and you're concerned about his future and explain how he's going to wreck up and the problems he's headed for. And then when you get through, say, and besides that, son, I've got a responsibility to God and I've got to beat you if you don't do right. You know, instead of this, never talk to them, never love them, never show them anything, you just get to grinding until you can't stand it, and you grab him up and you beat him and you jerk him in. I'll kill you, I'll beat your brains out. You know, you're the one that needs a good whipping. The preacher needs to give you a real good chastening so that you'll leave that little fellow alone. See, the Bible said God corrects us for our good. He corrects us for our good. And then you grab that little fellow up and you beat that little fellow and you don't do nothing, just satisfy your old ugly temper. That devil that you've got in you that needs to be cast out of you. See, and you've injured that child and you've discouraged that child and you've got that child to where he wouldn't honor you. He might be afraid of you. You might keep him afraid of you, but if he ever gets a chance, he'll bop you back of the head with a baseball bat. Say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, they just convicted that girl for murder. Didn't she kill her daddy and mother? The Bible said in the last days they'll rise up and kill the parents. She killed both of them. They couldn't convict her, and finally she confessed, they said. She just told them, said she killed him. Whether true or false, I told my wife, and I mentioned to some others, I said, there's something behind that, and I could look and see. And I thought, and that is what it is. And when the confession was made, according to her statement, she said, that's what it was. So, see, it's just a bad situation, folks. Bad. Well, I was going to say something. I feel like the Lord helped me to do this, or allowed me to do this, because some of the children are in danger. I set a rule and a regulation. I beg of you not to break it. I talked to God, I wrestled over the thing to try to get the thing to where it would save the life of your child. And I ask you to work with me in the securities and the driving of these cars and the handling of these cars. You might say, well, I don't think much of what you set forth. Well, you've got to admit one thing. We've been here, what, about 16 years? How long have we been here, Brother Taylor? 17 going on 18 years. You've not had a child killed yet out of all of those years. You've not even had one of them injured by a car or whatever. But brethren, as I live before God, before the year, this coming year will be out, if you're not careful, you're going to have tragedy. If you don't get away from the foolishness, letting the children run wild, not watching after them, and if you don't get away from violating the things that Brother Johnny is trying to do out here, and some of you that are driving cars that's coming up here, I don't even get finished with my sermon hardly before out the door you've gone. You don't want to be here anyway. And out the door you go. See, and you grab that car and you race up here and race back. And I told Johnny, I said, Johnny, I absolutely won't have it. If you don't dismiss the man that does that, then I'll dismiss you, Johnny. So I'm trying to protect your children. And you've got to stop them. Folks, you've got to stop them. These that's running on the campground, you've got children coming on the campground. I had my Gracie to come in too fast down here a time or two, and I got on to her. She's just childish, and she gets coming home on the weekend, and she gets in a hurry, and she don't have long, and she gets careless, and she's sorry. She says she's sorry. But I told Johnny, I said, I don't care if it's my son, my daughter, whoever, you stop them when they come in there, and you tell them. And if they're different ones, don't stop it. Bring it before the board of directors. Bring it before the men's meeting. And you find somebody that's a troublemaker that won't let the neighbors rest and just causing problems all the time. I said, bring it before the board. Bring it before the men. If those people are ignorant, we'll help them to understand. If they're just slow and developing, we'll be merciful to them. If they just want to be a troublemaker and just an old haughty attitude, we'll say something about it, that they'll have to do something about it. Now, I'm not hard like some folks are, like Brother Red. I got word today a man didn't please them down there. And one of the brothers that's in charge down there, he said, you'll be off of this campground at such and such, and the sun better not set on you. See, that's the way they do it. I work just a little bit different, you know. But the thing is, you do have to have some order. You do have to have some discipline. You've got to have some kind of control. You can't just do any old way, folks. Another thing I was going to say a few minutes ago, and after this I'm going to try to change the order of the service. I've got people coming in here, new people that are just babes. Now I want you to listen at me. I have been patient with you for 17 long years. When some of you have acted like the devil himself. And I've worked with you and I've worked with your children and I've been patient and I've prayed and I've fasted. I've done everything I could. Hours of counsel to love you, to lead you. And here are these people come in here that ain't been in here 3 days or a month. And you start lamb blasting them and you start wrecking them over the coals. And what it took you 17 years to get season in, you jump on them and you just want to walk on their case and just beat on them until it's just unreal. I can't even fathom anybody thinking like that. These people come in looking for help. You know, I made the statement the other night, and this sounds a little comical, but I don't mean it that way. Have you ever tried skinning a fish before you caught him? You ought to try that sometimes, and you'll get the idea. Just go down the river and try skinning one before you catch him. And you'll get the idea of what Brother Pike is up against and what I'm trying to tell you. Folks, you can't dress a fish till you catch him. See, I'm trying to catch these people. I'm trying to fish. The Bible said to be fishers of men, to bring them into salvation and to bring them into the wonderful things of God. You've got to wait till we get them. And once we get them, then we'll have a chance to dress them. If they're not in shape, if they're not right, then we'll dress them. We'll clean them up. We'll make them meat for the master's use. And they said, well, bless God, you can't do nothing with them. Well, we'll throw them back. The Bible said when you bring your net in, you got a whole lot of things you got to throw back. A few days ago, we was out in the Gulf out there. I was running around the boat out there trying to talk to the Lord a little bit. The brother had asked me to go out to talk with him. He was heavy laden. During that time, my Danny, Joe, and David, they got a net. They throwed it out the back. They was fishing. They was having themselves a time. They caught a lot of things, but the greater part of them we had to throw back. I watched them as they got a few little shrimp and a few little things here and there that wasn't the time for what they needed to do. And the greater part, I'd see them wreck them back, throw them back. See, in a lot of times, if you're really going to have a church, you may have to throw the greater part of them back. But out of that, they got some good stuff. See, so I want you to let up on that now. Listen at me now. Somebody comes into your house, and I know this. I know children need to be under control in the house of God and wherever. The Bible said with all gravity. And I know you got to bend the twig while it's little because when it gets too big, the tree will break. Any pressure after it gets too big, it'll break. Dad used to say you have to bend it while it's little. But at the same time, though people make their children reverence you and reverence yours or whatever, if they come into your place and they break a little old 15-cent thing, or if it's a dollar and a half or $5, they ain't no need to stand on your head and get all upset. Them's kids. Just look back and think about the different things that you broke. Just think back now. You broke your mother's heart. Someone said, I ain't broke nothing. You broke your daddy's heart. Sometimes your brother, your sister. Sometimes your family. Sometimes you broke things that couldn't be replaced. See, and then you broke up many other little things. Betty, she has a little whatnots, and she gets them broke about a half a dozen or dozens at a time. God just gives her another bushel of them. And that little thing that you think you can't place, God sends something in, you think 10 times more than you did that little piece of junk. Yeah, because it's all junk anyway. It's all going to the junkyard. Ain't no need to place your heart on to start with. I mean, that don't mean you want somebody going around taking a hammer, pecking on the fender of your car. But, you know, you need to have a little understanding, folks. You need to have a little understanding. And some of you, a little girl, a boy. You know, they can come in here, and especially new people, and the little girl, maybe she don't even have any long dresses. I hear cases like this every once in a while. Maybe the little one don't even have any long dresses. You know, the folks come in struggling, trying to get in line. And that little bitty girl out there, and you just spew like a Roman candle. Because that little 2-year-old girl has a dress on that you think ought to be down to her ankle. Do you realize how ignorant you are? Have you ever stopped to consider how ignorant you are? So then, you strain at a net. you swallow a camel. Jesus said, blind leaders of the blind, they all fall into the ditch. See, instead of thinking about that little fella and thinking, well, she'd look cute, you know, in a long dress. It's for sure there ain't no lust there. If you're lusting around after that little thing, then you must be filled with a devil. So see, the little fella, you think, well, now, wouldn't she look cute in a pretty dress? I think I'll make her a pretty little dress. I'll take it over to her mother, and her mother will be excited, see my concern. And you know, she'll be wearing that little dress. And the first news you know, you can bend the little twig and start dart it in the right direction. Give a little love, have a little understanding, and they'll just love you, folks, because they're looking for love. They're looking for understanding. They want the same thing that you want. But what are we going to do? See, what are we going to do? These people coming in here, they need the love of God. They've been kicked around. They've been beat around. They've been hurt. You know, I preach strong. Let me say this. I'm trying to find a place to close, and I will. You know, it's like the Lord said to me, there is no law that is of any value to the people unless it's seasoned with the element of grace. And the Lord said to me, I give the law, but it wasn't of any value to the people. Paul said, the law came and it killed me. But when God gave the element of grace at Calvary to allow for the innocent and allow for them that stumble when they're trying, the law became a great thing, and the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and it brought us eternal life. So folks, when you've got a law, be like that. Brother Pike preaches strict. I believe every jot and tittle. I believe you ought to be straight as an arrow. And I try my best to be that way. Though I admit I falter, I stumble, I err. But so help me God, I hope God will take my life before I breathe another breath if this isn't true. I am trying to the best of my ability and have been for many years, ever since I've come to understand things is right. I have tried, and I've said this to you before, I have tried to be straight, honest, down to the very intent of my heart and the reflex of my mind. And I've tried to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to try to refuse to ever let my mind ever think on one dirty thought, on one filthy thought, or any other kind of thought. And I try to keep my heart straight all the time, day and night. And I try to walk perfect before God, and I pray that God make me a perfect man in my generation. I try to go on to perfection like He told me to. And every day I'm trying to do better and better, asking God to give me grace and to help me. Want to be right, folks. I want to. But with all of that, I stumble and I stagger. And I ask the Lord to help me. I still need the element of grace. I still need the element of grace. I have to lean upon the element of grace. But when you do the best that you can, then grace makes you perfect. Nothing is charged against you, and the evil one touches you not. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, if you do these things that are foolish and wild, contrary, and all of these things is unlike the Lord, you're going to have to pay for it. I'm going to read just a little bit here from chapter 19. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. I want to read that for the simple reason that that's what I want to talk on tonight. Some things has happened, and I want to just bring out some present day truth as to a present day happening that you might understand what is happening to you at this very moment. But seeing that we just didn't have the atmosphere for it, and so much danger for the little ones, something's got to be done, and even for your soul, then this is what I talked about tonight. I appreciate you. I'm glad to have Steve and Collins with us. They're here with us. They come up, they loaded up their little trailer, they brought their belongings to be part of Bethlehem. And they're wanting to get in and help us here at Bethlehem. And they've got some talents that's very valuable to us. And we still have, and of course, Steve is a musician. And then we still have Brother Steve here and his wife. and the little ones. And we have John and his wife and the little family. And they're here with us. And John is also a musician. See, and these boys have great talents. They're going to help us in a number of ways. They want to stay. They're trying to stay. Give them a breather. Give them a chance. Help them. Do something. I appreciate Sister Louise allowing them to be at her trailer. She has allowed Steve and the wife to stay at the trailer, and they seem to be enjoying it over here. And then David let John and the family stay over at his house over here, and they seem to be enjoying it. And we just appreciate these people being here. Tony had to leave today. He got your house wired up. It's a real good job. He had to go back. Well, see, these people are still with us. A brother called me yesterday. He's leaving another camp, and another brother is soon to follow, the way he said. And they and their families said, we're making our home at Little Bethlehem. How do we appreciate these people? See, we're glad to have them here with us. If they don't find a church home or don't have a church home, then we welcome them to come here and have this for their church home. Because we appreciate people coming to be. You know, I don't know how to take folks sometimes. Somebody said the other day, I said something about people coming to Bethlehem. Somebody said, there's enough folks here now. I thought, well, my lands. No wonder I'm having so much problem. Can't you imagine them folks being in world evangelism? Well, let's stand together. You'll just have to forgive me, you know, if I kind of get out of bounds here, because my heart is interested in trying to do something, folks. And I'm not telling you that I'm the chief example or I'm the best example. I honestly confess that I stumble and stagger. And like I said, sometimes I go to pray and I go hard and fast asleep. Maybe you've never done that, but I do. I go to pray. See, Steve grinning, so I know he does. So I try to pray. You know, I want to pray. I say, Lord, I want to pray. But sometimes you're tired and you're weary. And the Lord, He just kind of lulls you to sleep and lets you rest a little bit, you know. But we need to do something. I wished I could have expounded tonight just a little bit of the things as to what's happening. So folks, do something for Jesus. Do something for Jesus. Do the best you can. You know, like the little Banny, he at least done the best he could. Do the best you can. I might not be an Oral Roberts. I'm not trying to be, but I might not be. I might not be a Billy Graham. I'm not trying to be that. But I might not be those things. It's for sure that I'm not. They want to dedicate their little son Isaac. If they'll bring him on up. Is it Isaac? Have I got that right? Isaac. I think that's what it is. I might not be that. But the thing is, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that's all I am. And I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to do what I can. See, Brother Oral Roberts, he did what he was supposed to do. Brother Billy Graham, he's done what he's supposed to do. Now see, all I can do is what I'm supposed to do. And all you can do is what you're supposed to do. So, one thing that we all know that we're supposed to do, and that is the Bible said to love one another. For love is of God. And love covers a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. So then, let's remember that. Let's remember that if we're going to have the blessings of God, then we're going to have to be considerate. Can you move these things right here, brother? All right, they want to dedicate this little one. We've dedicated many children from this one place standing right here. Jeff, if you'll come up here. Jeffrey, is it? Jeffrey and Elisa, if y'all will come here. And did I get the name right? Isaac? The little one's name is Isaac. Is that right? Okay. Jeffrey Isaac? Okay. Let's just pray together and let's dedicate the little ones. I lay hands on him now. I want you to pray with me. Precious, wonderful Father, Lord, as we look at this precious little child, dear God, knowing that children, that they are an heritage from God, I lay my hands upon the little child. And as you give this little child to these people,
They give this little child back unto you, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we dedicate him to you that his little soul might be filled with the love of God and the power of Christ, the mighty Holy Ghost. Dear wonderful God, I pray that you would touch this little child. Father, when it's hungry, I want you to feed it. When it's in need of clothing, I want you to clothe it. And dear wonderful God of heaven, Lord, when its enemies rise up against it, may you become their enemy. Oh Lord, that this child should be protected all the days of its life. And God, that it should be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And dear God, as I stand here tonight, Lord, even as I stood behind the sacred desk a few moments ago, Lord, and I heard you speak to me concerning the little child and what he has to do with, and what these people have to do with, I pray thee in the name of Jesus that you'll bless these people, lead these people, guide these people, forgive these people of their sins, oh God, and let the lovely Holy Ghost live in their hearts and in their lives, that they might have happiness and strength together to do something in the name of your lovely child, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little song together. This has, well, such a great, astounding significance until only you that are spiritual would understand. And I know within reason you're going to understand some of it. But if you would look a little closer, you would understand some great things. And a number of great things. But here at Bethlehem, that's the way it is. Always great, wonderful, present-day truths unveiling themselves and great revelation taking place. Things that are so astounding. Some of you who walk with God that can hear the voice of God, you share these things. You pick up these things. And many of you understand these things. Maybe you don't understand what you'd like to, but you understand some of them. We're so quick to trouble people that come in among us, to criticize them, to find fault, to judge, to figure it out in our minds, and always to find out that we're wrong. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Down at the cross where I first saw light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. One more time. At the cross where I first saw the light, burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. If you love the Lord, say amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus. Maybe you can remember it if I don't. Come and go with me. Go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Won't you come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, peace, joy. Oh,
come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's peace, love, and... Can you sing it again? Oh, won't you go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Won't you go with me to my Father's house, where there's love, peace, joy.
Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Coming into the church to know how that we should behave ourselves in the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. Wouldn't you like to be holy and godly and pure and just walk in the Spirit, to be in the Spirit, even as He was in the Spirit? Let's sing this little chorus again. We sang it a little bit ago.
I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Sing it again.
Oh, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels...
One more time, sing it with.
Oh, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Let's sing the chorus, I love Him. Can we do that? Just a chorus or two before we dismiss.
I love Him. Salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in the book.
Sing it one more time.
Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Will let tomorrow maybe tomorrow I'll serve the living God that has control. And after rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Can you sing with me, folks? Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Sing it again, can you? Listen, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
You love the Lord? Let's sing another one, can we?
I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Sing it with me now.
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am the child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Sing it again.
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough.
One more time.
We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that.
Can we sing it one more time together?
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all.
If you want to come, you can. If you'd like to come down the altar, you can come on down.
And I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first in that.
Let's sing that song again and think about what you're singing tonight.
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest up for me.
Just one more time.
He will answer when I call, for I know I am the child the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the high honor. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Somebody say hallelujah. If you love the Lord, did you know that the end of the world is getting close by? I wish I could have said to you the things that I would like to have said to you tonight. I really do from my heart. There was a number of things, this current events of that in the news and the different things that I would like to have related to you, to told you tonight and brought out why that these things are happening. We predicted that they would happen. A number of them we predicted that they would happen, and they've happened. They fell right in line, and right now I would like to have brought them out at this time while they're falling in line and told you why that they were happening. Just to say something's happening, you say, well, praise God, I said it had happened. But folks, that ain't what it's all about. See, when you say something's going to happen and something happens, there's a reason why you said that was going to happen and why that thing happened. And it has a great, mighty significance. And I would love to just brought out at least four or five of them tonight. Down there talking to David, Paul, I brought out some revelation talking to David that really thrilled David's heart. And I brought out just a little bit, just a few things of what I'd like to have said tonight here as concerning some of these current events. Things are happening in a great and a mighty way, folks. We need to really be conscientious, and we really need to think about what's taking place, because there are some great things that's taking place, and the end of the world is here. Believe it or not, the current events as to the publications is showing it. Okay, let's sing another verse or two. And
everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Sing it like this now.
Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He is the lily of your valley, and He's a bright morning star. And He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
One more time.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, bound to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot,
coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Sweet, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Ain't Jesus good? Ain't he good? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it? For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing that again? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Let's just bow our heads together. Father of heaven, we're so grateful for your wonderful presence. I ask you to heal these people tonight. Deliver these people. May the great, mighty love of God and the power of God from heaven be seen within the hearts of these people. May they be holy people and godly people. Dear wonderful God, even as David said, Lord, as he stood yonder in the Holy Land, our God David, Lord, as he said, that I've never seen people like these people, they're holy people. May we be holy, to be holy even as our Father's holy, to be perfect, Lord, to add godliness to our experience. And dear wonderful God, to be perfect even as thou art perfect, Heavenly Father. Lord, be with us. Give us strength. Give us desire. Lord, in this day, Lord, in this crushing day, in this hour, that you give us the blessing. Give us the understanding. Inspire us, O God. Lord, with your great love, with your great understanding, Lord, with that great leadership that can only come from heaven, grant it, I pray thee, in the lovely name of your lovely Son, Jesus. And time be... Give me another key frame. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And time shall be no more.
no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Revelation 10 and 7, and the Bible said, and the angel shall stand with one foot upon the land and one foot upon the sea, his hands raised to heaven. He'll swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. And you that don't understand what time is, you don't know when it came, you don't know what it is, you don't know where it's at, and you don't know when it'll leave. But to us it has been given to know where it came from and what it is and how long it'll be here and when it will leave. And so then we understand. The Bible said all won't understand. But them that have the mind of Christ, them that are given the knowledge of God, these shall understand. And so then understanding where we're living right at this moment and what is taking place, then I know what is meant by this song as we sing, time shall be no more. Let's sing it again together, can we? Little sheep are to follow. There's a shepherd he's supposed to know. Brother Taylor sings the song, Moses knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. God had already prepared Moses for 40 years in that wilderness, that when he went back down in there into Egypt to pick up those people, that he wouldn't be guessing. When he come to the slime pits and he come to the dangers and the different things that he was to come to, that when he got down there, that there wouldn't be any making believe, that when he got down there, that he would know his way through. So let's sing this song together, can we?
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be.
Let's sing it one more time.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Can you close your eyes with me once again? Lift up your hands to heaven. Now I know that you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't believe in what we're preaching, what we're trying to tell you, what we're trying to lead you into. If you didn't really believe, you wouldn't be here. So I know then tonight that you're here because you believe in what I'm trying to tell you. See, you want to be part of this. You want to help us. You want to go with us. And we want to help you. And we want to go with you. And tonight I know that you've got problems. I know that you've got problems. And I understand. I understand. But folks, we can overcome those things. We can overcome. We'll walk with the Lord and do the thing that God has commanded us to do. We can overcome those things. We can be mighty in God. You don't have to lose your life. You don't have to lose your hope. You don't have to lose your strength. You don't have to lose your vision. You don't have to lose the loved ones. We can do something for Jesus. That's the truth, folks. The Bible said we can pray, we can believe, we can have faith in God, and these things will fall all around us and not come nigh our dwelling. But let's be sincere, let's be godly, let's be full of hope, full of the love of God, full of the submission of Christ. While we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Collins to come up and pray with you. And if you've got a problem tonight, if something is wrong in your heart and life tonight, if you will believe with us and believe as Collins prays, God will do something for you. Brother Collins from out of Houston, Texas, he's trying to serve the Lord, and he's come to this message, and he believes in it, and he's trying his best to come into it. He's just a young man, Well, him and Steve both, just young men that are single, and yet they took the boldness to leave their home and come up here to do something for God, and wants to stand with us in this wonderful, wonderful thing called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, as Collins comes to pray with you tonight, think on these things. And ask God to help you. Ask God to do something for you. Let Jesus come into your heart. Will you do that? I want to sing just a verse or two of this as he comes. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed, let's sing this. Can we do this, friend?
Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.